It is too pretty a day to be so unhappy. Did you fall down? Why so shy? Nothing to be ashamed of. We all stumble from time to time. You see that enchanting lady in green? Once, when she was just a Maiko, she fell clean off her wooden shoes.
It's true, I did.
And now, look at her, so elegant.
Mr. Chairman, shouldn't we hurry? We will miss the beginning.
We see the spring dances every year. We can spare a moment. What's your name? Don't be afraid to look at me. Do you like sweet plum or cherry?
You mean to eat?
I like sweet plum myself. Come. None of us find as much kindness in this life as we should. Hi. What kinds, please? My children wait for these every spring. So you are. How did you come by such surprising eyes?
My mother gave them to me.
Generous of her, wasn't it?
As you have been to me.
Smile for me, won't you? There now. That is your gift to me. This will buy your supper. Now promise me one thing. Next time you take a tumble, no frowns. That's better.
In that moment, I changed from a girl facing nothing but emptiness to someone with purpose.
In that moment, moving from someone without hope to a person of purpose. Out of the simple act of kindness. And today, as we continue in our series on basics, we talk about service. And while we can define service as many things, service in essence is one person coming along and out of kindness, out of compassion, out of love, doing something for someone else. This particular scene I loved ever since I've seen that movie originally, Memoirs of a Geisha. That moment to think about a person's entire life can be changed by just a simple act of kindness. And perhaps in your own life, you can think back to the times when someone said something, someone did something, someone was at the right moment, at the right time, and it was this critical moment where you could have gone left or right, and they guided you in the right direction. And today we want to talk about that kind of service, biblical service. In that clip, we also saw that the reason that she was down is she had tumbled and fell. And I love that imagery that life is going to happen. We're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And sometimes that is when people need services the most. Today, at the end of the service, we are going to ask everyone to go and find a place that they can serve. And you can notice that there are these pictures and icons around the room of different ministries. And we're going to have people stationed at each one of those with a clipboard. And if you're interested in finding out more about the particular ministry. And one of those, for instance, is the bereavement team. And the bereavement team They provide meals for when the families are going through a tough time. Through the loss of a loved one, they come and they serve. And I witnessed that a few weeks ago. And it was just amazing to see the heart of men and women who want to come and serve others in their time of grief. That's what biblical service is all about. Acts of kindness done in the name of Christ, for the glory of Christ, with eternal ramifications. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to do things that are going to have meaning. Sometimes we do things because we just have to. Like you have to take the trash out. Guess what? Trash has to be taken out here too. And we have a team who do that regularly. But they would love to have some help. If you can take out trash, you could serve at church. Now, I grew up thinking the only way you served in church was that you were either the pastor, you were the music leader, or like you're the youth pastor. Or you were like, you know, the grandma who served as a Sunday school teacher. Because all Sunday school teachers are like grandmas, right? Now, as a six-year-old, they probably were only like in their 30s. But it always seemed like it was, because they always had Mrs. You always had Mrs. Davis or Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Jawaski or some kind of name you couldn't say. And it seemed like they were always old. So I was like, well, I'm not an old lady, so I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I can't sing, so I can't do music. I don't like kids, so I don't kid. No, I'm just joking. says the youth pastor. So this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I totally forgot. Now that I mentioned youth, tonight we were going to have a bonfire at the Mickles family, but because of the rain, we have moved that here. So for those of you who are in Fusion or have kids who are in Fusion, 6 o'clock we're going to meet at church tonight before I forget. And everybody shows up at the Mickles house looking for a bonfire. I'm sure they would welcome you in, but I'm right. You know what? Just go ahead and show up there anyways. We have the opportunity to serve in so many different ways. And I am happy. Not to downplay what was going on in my church when I was growing up, but there was just not a value placed on every other aspect. And as I have matured and grown in my service to God and become a pastor especially, I value, whether you're playing guitar or drums or you're handing out the bulletins and greeting or working the bulletin, the PowerPoint, it is everybody's responsibility to do anything and everything to make sure that this church functions. And as we've traveled 4 weeks of in September talking about what it means to be a church member, we talked about that was unity and doing for one another. And so today I want to talk about the basics of service. The first thing I want us to see is Mark chapter 10, verse 45. We follow the example of Christ when we serve. Jesus said this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." The Son of Man. God incarnate, put down here on earth in the form of flesh, didn't come to be served. This doesn't seem like that great of a statement when you compare it to the rest of the entire religious spectrum. Think of the pharaohs. Think of the Caesars. Think of the men and women who throughout the millennium have set themselves as quote-unquote little g gods and required to be served. And here is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Creator and Sustainer, who said, I am not going to be like the rest of the fake idols that you guys worship, the fake gods that you bow down to. I am so completely different. Let me tell you this. I came not to be served, but to serve. That is mind-blowing. It is the complete opposite of what the world tells us about gods. And he is setting the example. As many of you may recall, the night that he was betrayed, the Last Supper. In addition to hosting the supper, as the host, it was his responsibility to make sure that their feet were washed. You see, as the disciples walked, they had their sandals, and these were roads that were not paved, as we mostly know. And these are roads that were dirty and dusty. Roads that were traveled by animals. And if you've ever followed behind an animal, you know what gets left behind. This is the type of environment that these men walked in. And it was tradition that if they came to a dinner and they were invited, that the house guest would have servants or someone who would be responsible to wash people's feet so that those dirt and filth and dust wouldn't come into the home. Jesus Christ, I'll say it again, the God creator, sustainer, Lord and Savior, just hours before he was going to go to the cross, when of any time in his life he could have demanded to be served, saying, take care of me because I'm about to do something. You know, I played a little football in high school. And the pregame routine was to pamper the stars. Make sure that their ankles were wrapped. Make sure that they were cooled down, that they were got their hydration, that they had enough food, that they got the right equipment. If you watch the pregames of any kind of sport, they always take care of those guys that are the most valuable. I was not one of those people. I had to tape my own ankles. I had to carry my own equipment. Jesus was like a superstar times a million. He was more valuable than any quarterback or running back. He was more valuable than LeBron James or a Michael Jordan. And before his quote-unquote big game, instead of being served, he got on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of his disciples. We follow the example of Christ when we serve. We don't ask you to serve at New Hope because we want you to be busy, or because we don't want to do that job, or just to create something to do. We all serve because we follow the example of Christ. The second thing I want us to see is that we were created to serve. We were created to serve. Not in the way that you would think. Not as slaves. Not as unheralded, just in the background, keep quiet kind of servants. But because we were made to be seen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I love how that Paul is writing this, and this follows Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Imagine that, 10 comes after 8 and 9. And if you're familiar with those passages, we are not saved by our works, but through faith and by grace, lest any man should boast. Paul's telling us in the verses just preceding this, we don't work because we want to get saved. Verse 10, we work because we are saved. Jesus Christ came and died, and he created grace, and we have faith in him. And now that we are set free, we are allowed to work because we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And as we just proceeded in Mark chapter 10, we saw Christ was a servant. If we are created in his image, what greater way to portray him than in service? We are created to serve, to make a difference, to be, as in that clip of the chairman, those venues of kindness, of impact. This week I was listening to, or watching actually, a video of Ken Davis. If you know Ken Davis, he's no relation to mine. I wish. He's a very talented guy. He's a comedian. He's a Christian comedian. And his story that he told that really touched me and fits in with what we're talking about today was that he grew up, he had a bone and muscle deficiency that he couldn't bend his arms all the way up. So he couldn't touch his own shoulders, which made it pretty much impossible for him to catch footballs or baseballs. The deficiency also affected his legs, so he wasn't really good at kicking. So, you know, kickball and soccer, any kind of sport really was out of the picture. He said that it was kind of ironic, though, that God gave him a passionate competitiveness and nothing to back it up. And he talks about this story about one day that he was in gym in high school, and his high school gym teacher was lining him up and kind of trying to gauge their ability so he could form the football team. And he told Davis, he said, "Davis, catch the ball." And he threw the ball because, of course, he didn't catch it. He said, the coach just looked at him and said, "Davis, you are absolutely the worst student and worthless person I've seen come through this school. Go hit the showers. You're not even worthy to be in this gym class." He said, "Just crush me." He said, but that later that same year, amongst all the bullying and the teasing that he got from the other boys, he learned that he could make them laugh. And he said, if I was making them laugh, they wouldn't hit me. And he said, so I became the class clown. And he said, there was one teacher, my English teacher, who in particular, I just delighted in harassing her. And one day she was quoting something from Macbeth. And he said, I raised my hand and I decided that I would share some other words that would fit in instead of the words that she used. And of course she said, then, "Mr. Davis, you will stay after school." And he said, oh. So he stayed after school, and of course she brought the desk and set it right next to hers. And he said, as I was sitting there writing out my punishment, she looked at him and she said, Kenneth Arthur Davis, I want to tell you something. And he said, I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. She said, Kenneth, you have a gift from God. You're quick-witted, and you're a master of words. Do not waste it. Value how God has created you. And she said, I want you to go out for the speech team. And he goes, the only thing I could think about, he said, in addition to the other beatings that I was getting, was that as all the other guys walked around with these manly letter sweaters with, like, you know, hockey sticks and footballs and track shoes, like manly images, I would have a pair of lips. But she was insistent. And he said, I went out for the speech team and I was categorized as the humorous interpretation. And he said, I ended up going on to win every contest that I was in, and in me clicked this recognition. I speak for a living. Recognition that there is a gift that God gave me, and I could use it to glorify Him. Now, He gave this stand up just this past year. I think He's about 70 years old. So for over 50 years, that's what he's done. Is he has stood up and he has talked and made people laugh and shared the glory of God. And it's all because somebody took the time to be like Christ, to recognize we were all created to serve. We may not all catch a football or baseball. We may not all understand the stock market and make millions of dollars. But we all have gifts and abilities and talents that God has given us. And when we use them, it brings us to spiritual maturity. It's the third thing I want us to see today. Service brings spiritual maturity, Ephesians chapter 4, 12 and 13, which happens to be my life verse, says this: we are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the fullness, the whole measure of Christ. If we serve, we serve to grow. While we are serving, we are developing our spiritual abilities. We are stretching spiritual muscles. We are growing up into the fullness of Christ. If you've been sitting in a pew or in a chair for a year or 2 years or 10 years or 20 or 30, and you're like, I'm just not growing. Maybe you've hopped from church to church because the pastor just didn't feed me. But you've been walking that long and you're not serving? Let me just give you a clue. That might be the reason why. You see, throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament, when you look up words like faith or believe, you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Great. I have faith in Jesus Christ. Awesome. Every time you look up that word in the original language, it is an action word. It is connected to an act. I'm reminded of James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, James writes this: what good is this, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. Let me translate that. I'll pray for you. Keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is a dead faith. It's a plant that's been planted and not nurtured. Are we still saved? Yes. But you're not mature. Well, Jason, why do I need to be mature? The Bible repeatedly through the New Testament and in Revelation talks about one day we will stand before Christ. And he judges us not on whether or not we're sinners or not. We have been forgiven of that. And he's going to ask us, what'd you do with what I gave you? That's a paraphrase. You're not going to look that up, Google it. But let me tell you, that's what the Bible tells us. Paul, throughout his writings to the churches, is like, because you are saved, act like it. Act like it in the way that you treat your wife, your children, your co-workers, your fellow citizens. Act like it and act like Christ. And how did Christ act? He came and served. If we want to act like Christians and be mature as Christians, we do it through service. Now, today, because we have been blessed by those who are willing to serve, we have a new wing in the back in the kids area. I encourage you after church, if you walk through, be careful. There's still construction going on. But the rooms have been rearranged. And it's because a group of men came in this week and did that. They served. And because the place is still a little bit of a mess back there during construction, and we weren't quite ready to have the kids in there, the kids have joined us today. And I hope that you've welcomed them. And I hope you value now the service of the Sunday school teachers who stay back there every week. Yes, clap for them. Now, I will tell you, young people who are usually not in here, you have done very well today. I am very impressed. Most of you are still awake. I'm really... But we are served every week. Those of us It is a blessing to have the children in here today, but it is also a blessing that they get to go back and experience church in a language and in a format that they enjoy and that they engage in. And we who are in here every week are blessed because there are men and women who every week go back and serve us and serve our children by being back there and teaching. And they are so mature. That's where you get real maturity. I'll just plug that right now. Children's ministry is where you get the most mature. Am I right, Trish? Amen. I'm surprised I didn't get a big amen over here. So how do I know how to serve? How do I know how to serve? Let me encourage you to read chapter 4 of Ephesians, chapter 12 of Romans. Both of them just describe at length some different spiritual gifts that we have. But let me give you an acronym. This comes from Saddleback. Many of you who went through 40 Days of Purpose may be familiar with this. The fourth thing I want us to see today is that you are shaped to serve. And shape is this, S, spiritual gifts. How do I know how to serve? What is my spiritual gift? H, what's my heart? What is my heart? My heart breaks for, and if you were to fill in that blank, what would that blank be? Kids? Elderly? The homeless? Orphans? Widowed? What is that blank for you? In the cool, amazing, awesome thing, the way God has designed us, is if we did a survey, we would get different answers. We wouldn't all have that same heart. And you know when you get mature is when you can look at someone else's heart and you get excited when they succeed. You're like, I don't understand jail ministry, but if you go do it, amen. That's awesome. I don't really get along with kids, but you do kids ministry. Amen. Go for it. Pat you on the back. But you know what? There's some people who can't swing a hammer, but we've been blessed this week by a couple of guys who can. I had a dear friend of mine that was missionaries to Siberia, and he was always asking me to come visit him. I said, no. God has called you and gave you that heart. I am not shaped for that. Blessings go. Because he would send me pictures in the middle of winter and doing baptisms as they broke the ice to get into the water. Or the summer times when it was over 100 degrees and like the flies were so thick you thought it was a bush. I'm like, that is, no. I love Jesus, but no. That's not my heart. How about your abilities? Your abilities. You know what? You can balance a checkbook. Great. You're an accountant. Awesome. We have a business team. And John Phillips would love some help balancing the checkbook. Amen. Amen. Your ability is to resolve conflict and bring direction when it's unclear where to take the next step. Great. We need elders. Everybody has some ability. I love that about the church. You're a plumber? Great. We have plumbing that needs to be done. You're a carpenter? Great. We have some building things to be done. You can mow grass, take out the trash. You could cook a meal. It's amazing. Guys, there's all kinds of ways. God has entrusted you in natural abilities. What we do with them either brings glory to them, to God, or brings glory to us. Let's use them to bring glory to God. How about your personality? If you're not a people person, don't be a greeter. But if you are, and it just ramps you up to shake hands and say hi to people, by all means, let's get you a lanyard and stick you out there in the lobby. We want you greeting. We want smiling, happy faces. That's why I'm not on the team. But your personality may be, I like to be in the background. I'd like to come in on a Tuesday and write letters to people who didn't come to church and fold them and put them in the envelope and stamp them and put them in the mailbox. That would really excite me because no one would see me do it. We would love for you to do that. There are many, many ways to serve God. Our personalities, God created us for a reason. The way he created us. If you don't know why, ask him. It is amazing. When we ask God, he will reveal things to us. And then finally, experience. We have all had experience. We all come from different walks of life. We all come from many church backgrounds. And the amazing thing is you may have gone to a church that did X and it worked. You know what? Let's try that out. Maybe you went to a church and they did Y. Well, let's see if that would work. You know what? I was part of a nonprofit and we learned this. I was a part of a civic group and we learned that. I was part of fill in the blank and we learned how to reach people, how to impact a community. God gave you those experiences for a reason. I always wondered, I never forget the day that I took my first day as a jail chaplain and I walked in there and all of the experiences as a probation officer going in and out of jails and prisons, hanging around those who had been convicted, and then partnering with that with some experiences in my own life that I was broken, and to know what brokenness is like. And to mesh those two things together. Because not everybody can do that. It always cracked me up when I would bring in a new volunteer or somebody who was interested in being a volunteer. Is you let the door slam really loud behind them that first time. And if they kind of flinch and look, they're not good. They're not ready for jail ministry. But that's okay. Not everyone's called to that. But look at your experiences and see how God has called you and shaped you and formed you. Because there are a lot of people, like that little girl in that video, who in life have fell, that have taken a tumble. Who's going to be there? Who's going to be there to pick them up, to encourage them? And as she said in the last of that video, to move from hopelessness to purpose. And there's a lot of great causes out there, and I know many of you support them. But I will tell you that this Bible represents the greatest cause and purpose that we can ever share. And if we commit our lives to do that through service, we will change not only this world, but the world hereafter. Amen.